hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
It's day 7 at the World Athletics Championships in London, where medals will be awarded in 3 events later Thursday evening. They are the men's triple jump, the men's 200 meters race, and the women's 400 meters hurdles race. In the men's triple jump, reigning Olympic champion Christian Taylor of the United States will be defending his world title and aiming for his 3rd world title overall. The 27-year-old Taylor has a personal best in the triple jump of 18.21 meters. Ahead of London 2017, Taylor said he would like nothing better than to break the 22-year-old world record of 18.29 meters set by the now-retired British star Jonathan Edwards.
Personally, I've wanted the world record from Daegu, you know, so I'm a little disappointed. Hasn't happened yet, but every year, you know, I believe this is my time, you know, and so it would be very, very sweet to do it, you know, on Jonathan's soil, you know. I know he's going to be watching. Yeah, he's given me a little, some hints and some things that maybe could help me get to this distance. I've also heard that it's his son's birthday, and so I would love to give him this gift. But, yeah, I'm very excited, and I think it is possible.
Christian Taylor thinks it's possible for him to break the world triple jump record. While the American star is focusing on the triple jump in London, he points out how he's also competed in several other events during his athletics career, including the long jump, the 200 meters, and the 400 meters.
I love the 400, and I've done it through high school and had the opportunity to run it at University of Florida. Found a way to kind of give them a shout-out. But, yeah, I do need this. You know, that is really, that's why I'm here. You know, I'm so frustrated to become every year shorter and shorter. And the wins, you know, I love being on top of the podium. But now this is the thing that's outstanding. I try to surround myself with world record holders. I try to do everything. You know, they say that these things will, you get that aura, you know, and I'm hoping that some things rub off on me, but really, I would just run with pure joy then, you know, knowing that everything on my bucket list was really ticked off.
And speaking of bucket lists, South African star Wade van Niekerk is trying to tick off another gold medal Thursday evening in the men's 200 meters race. Van Niekerk successfully defended his world 400 meters title earlier this week in London. But Wade could be challenged just to get on the medals podium at the 200 meter distance. Several runners had faster times than Van Niekerk in the qualifying heats, including Botswana's Isaac Makwala, who came out of quarantine to qualify for the final. In fact, Isaac Makwala first had to race alone on the track in a special qualifying heat and then run another qualifying heat later in the evening. Makwala was kept out of the men's 400 meters final by organizers because of a stomach virus that affected a number of athletes. Makwala says he was angered and heartbroken by the decision. He says he's back to full fitness, though, and we give him that clean bill of health for the 200 meters later Thursday evening. Good luck to Isaac Makwala from Botswana. In results Wednesday at the World Athletics Championships, American Phyllis Francis upset the favorites to win the gold medal in the women's 400 meters race. reigning Olympic champion Shawnee Miller-Uibo of the Bahamas looked as if she might win the race until she slowed in the final meters, seemingly with pain in her right leg. Sawa Ed Nasser of Bahrain swept past Alex and Felix near the finish line, and she lunged for the silver medal ahead of the American star. Gold medal winner Phyllis Francis finished in 49.92 seconds, a personal best. Meanwhile, the bronze medal won by Allison Felix was her 14th career medal at the World Championships. That puts her in a tie with Jamaicans Usain Bolt and Merlene Otte at the top of the list. 9 of Felix's 14 World Championship medals are gold. Allison Felix has also won 9 Olympic medals, 6 of them gold, during her great athletics career. More results from London on Wednesday. Carsten Warholm of Norway was a surprise winner in the men's 400 meters hurdles, clocking 48.35 seconds. The 21-year-old Warholm earned his first major title. It was also Norway's first World Championship gold medal in a track event since 1987. Yasmani Capello of Turkey won the silver medal, and American Karen Clement, the reigning Olympic champion, won the bronze medal. In the women's shot put, China's Gong Li Zhao won the gold medal with a throw of 19.94 meters. Anita Martin of Hungary won the silver, and American Michelle Carter, the reigning Olympic champion, won the bronze medal. Heading into Thursday's events, the United States topped the London 2017 medals table with 15 medals, 4 gold, 5 silver, and 6 bronze. Kenya is next with 7 medals, 3 gold, 1 silver, and 3 bronze. South Africa is in third place with 4 medals, 2 gold, and 2 bronze. Ethiopia is in 6th place overall with 3 medals, 1 gold, and 2 silver. The other African countries on the medals table are Ivory Coast with 1 silver medal, Morocco with 1 silver medal, and Tanzania with 1 bronze medal. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Music Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Turning to tennis, Alexander Zverev is in Montreal, Canada, where he'll play Nick Kyrgios of Australia later Thursday night in a round of 16 match at the Rogers Cup tournament. A few fun facts now about Zverev, who won his fourth title of the season 4 days ago at the City Open here in Washington. The 20-year-old Zverev is nicknamed Sasha. Sasha was born in Hamburg, Germany. His parents, Alexander Sr. and Irina, are both former Russian tennis players, and Sasha's older brother, Misha, is also a professional tennis player. Here in Washington, Sasha lifted the trophy and then talked about how his tennis has improved.
I think I improved a lot in the last few months and in this offseason, so you know, so I can be able to win these kind of tournaments and to win ATP tournaments. And you know, I've showed it in Rome. I'm showing it here again. And, I just hope I can continue playing like this, or even maybe better in the summer. And we'll see what the next few big tournaments hold for me.
Zverev has been described as one of the next generation stars in tennis. But Sasha doesn't seem to like that description much.
Well, right now I'm number 4 on the race to London. So, I mean, yeah, I'm next gen, but I think, you know, the rankings say it for themselves. You know, I'm number 8 in the world right now. I'm number 4 on the race to London. So, I mean, I've won 4 tournaments this year. So, I think I showed that I can play with the big guys already this year, and I'm not, in the future kind of guy. I'm trying to be right now.
Right now, as I mentioned, Sasha is in Montreal, where he's getting ready for a match later Thursday evening against Nick Kyrgios. Zverev talks about the expectations on him and Kyrgios and other young players in professional tennis.
There's so many expectations for so many of us. I think there's so many expectations for Dominic, so many for Nick Kyrgios. I'm not the only one. So it's about, I think, working hard. And, you know, I only listen to very few people. I only listen to the people in my team. So I try not to read too much in the media what they think I might become, or who are the top players thinks I might become, you know, because there have been so many, you know, young, great players who've never won a Grand Slam. So, you know, I'm just trying to work hard and to achieve those kind of goals.
That's Alexander Sasha Zverev of Germany, who won the recent City Open tennis tournament here in Washington. From Washington, Sasha traveled north to Montreal, where he's playing in this week's Rogers Cup tournament.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day. It'll brighten all our ways when we keep on sunny side of life. When we keep on sunny side of life.
Listen to VOA's program lineup, live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if you check out my Facebook page, you'll see a nice cover photo of South Africa's Wade van Niekerk successfully defending his world 400-meter title earlier this week in London. The photo was taken by Reuters photographer Matthew Childs at the Olympic Stadium in the British capital. In African football, here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the brave warriors of Namibia, who made the biggest jump of any team in the August rankings released Thursday by FIFA, the sport's international governing body. The brave warriors moved up 20 places from July to number 136 overall. That puts the Namibians at 39th in Africa. Taking a look at the top 10 African teams, according to FIFA, Egypt is number one on the continent and 25th overall. The Egyptians are followed by the Democratic Republic of Congo at 28, Senegal at 31, Tunisia at 34, Cameroon at 35, Nigeria at 38, Burkina Faso at 47, Algeria at 48, Ghana at 50, and Ivory Coast at 54. Meanwhile, Brazil returned to the very top of the rankings after a one-month hiatus, replacing reigning World Cup champion Germany, which dropped down to number two. Argentina is third, Switzerland is fourth, and Poland is fifth. The United States, which lifted the Gold Cup trophy last month on home soil, moved up nine places to number 26. Joining us now here in Studio 22 is my VOA colleague Doug Bernard, who will take a look at some of the trending sports social media topics. Hi, Doug.
Sonny, great to see you again.
Welcome back, Doug. What's trending on this Thursday?
Well, there's a number of stories. One of them is actually more of a news story, I suppose, than a sports story, but it does involve a very significant player. The United States Treasury has announced today that it has slapped sanctions, on 21 Mexicans that they say were involved with drug smuggling and drug cartels. And one of them is actually soccer star Rafa Márquez. He's played twice for the Mexican national team. He's played for Barcelona. He's played, you know, like a lot of players. He's kind of done the circuit, been a bit of a journeyman. Now, he is saying that he has no knowledge. He's innocent. He had no knowledge that money was being laundered through his basically sort of businesses that he owns. But the United States, this is very serious because now all of his assets, Rafa Márquez, that are held in the United States are frozen, can't get access to them. This obviously means he's, as long as this is outstanding, he is not going to be traveling very much. He is certainly not going to be coming to the United States. So a lot of people talking about this on social media, pardon me. He has his defenders as well as his detractors. Here's Raul Moe says, so Rafa Márquez had no idea money was being laundered through his companies. Ha, I call baloney. Or he uses a different word than baloney. let's see, Mexican soccer star accused. Here's Padraic Cassidy. So many Rafa Márquez / Red Bull jokes, no doubt going to be coming. And so a lot of people talking. Gemma tweets out a picture of sort of one of these meme GIF young woman crying. Which is me when I heard the news about Rafa Márquez being associated with a drug cartel. So a lot of people talking about that on social media, and that's going to be something I think that continues for some time because, you know, the Treasury Department is not just going to back off.
And Mexico, of course, one of our neighbors regionally, mm-hmm. Doug. And Mexico, probably our biggest rival regionally in soccer.
I think so, definitely. Certainly not Canada.
Well, what else is trending out there, Doug?
Two other stories for you. One quickly. This is one that we've been following for a while. Of course, as we've mentioned before, as Andrew and I were talking about last week, there's a big buildup in the United States for the Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor fight. That's August 23rd, I believe. Last week, Conor McGregor's sparring partner quit, basically calling McGregor all kinds of nasty names and saying he was, you know, treating him like a patsy and whatnot, that he was going down, he was going to lose. Well, a bunch of sparring partners with Floyd Mayweather are coming out now, speaking with the media. It's the 21st is the date of that fight. 26th, right here. Of course, you'd expect this, but all of Mayweather's sparring partners are saying, unquestionably, this guy is a talent like we haven't seen probably, you know, since Muhammad Ali. He is going to wipe the floor with McGregor. So his sparring partners are staying loyal to McGregor. And, of course, as we mentioned before, the hashtag either Mayweather-McGregor or McGregor-Mayweather, depending on who you're favoriting, is getting a lot of action out on social media as well.
Doug, do you get a sense that maybe non-fight fans or even non-MMA fans are interested in this bout?
You know, I am, and I've never been to a professional boxing match, never been to a professional mixed martial arts match. I've seen it on TV and whatnot, but never really. But there's something about it. Maybe I'm just susceptible to hype. So I mean, I'm not saying I'm the measure, but it's just as a measure of myself, who might not be inclined to kind of get on board the hype wagon, this kind of thing. I'm going to be paying attention.
Maybe the curiosity factor is going to, you know, make it big box office.
There you go. Well, you know what they say about curiosity. It killed the cat. So.
Anything else trending out there, Doug?
Well, speaking of cats, you know how the internet loves to create its memes. And a new meme was born last night. Hashtag rally cat. Now, here's what was happening. The Cardinals were playing St. Louis Cardinals were playing the Kansas City Royals. The Royals were up ahead. It was bottom of the sixth, bases loaded. It was at this point, it was beginning to look like the Royals may be kind of routing the Cardinals. And at that point, a stray cat just happened to run out onto the field, and the players were kind of pointing and laughing, and the cat's just kind of running around. And there was a groundskeeper that went out and finally caught the cat. And to the amusement of everybody in the park, as he's running back with the cat wanted nothing to do with it, so kept clawing him and biting him, and he kept, you know, wanting to obviously throw the cat or something, but he didn't. They got the cat off the field, and right after that, Yadier Molina hit a grand slam, knocked in three more runs, and ultimately gave them the win. And so everybody now is loving Rallycat. Here's just and it's hashtag Rallycat. Here's a couple tweets. Graham tweets, you've cat to be kitten me right meow. That's pretty sad. Let's see, just a few more. Let's see. This is a pretty awesome game. Intentionally load bases. Kitten runs across field. The rest is history. Let's see. This has to be the funniest thing ever. Cat biting Cardinals employee. Then a grand slam. Let's keep that cat around. And finally, one other person already promising to get a cat, a tattoo of Rally Cat if, in fact, the Cardinals go on to win the World Series. So it's people just having fun with it. It's a great bit of video, too. It's just one of those weird moments that happens sometimes out on the sporting pitch, and people just, I think, having some good-natured fun with it.
And on that good-natured fun, Doug, I think it's safe to say the cat did not have your tongue this evening.
It is safe to say that. It is also, I wonder if somebody let that cat out of the bag on purpose. I don't know. I'm going to stop now because this is getting a little bad, but... yeah, no, great story, fun story.
Thanks, Doug. And Doug, you'll be back on Friday?
I will.
Thanks, Doug. And that wraps up the August 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The United States congratulates the people of Rwanda on their active and peaceful participation in the presidential election held August 4th. More than 6.6 million Rwandans cast ballots for Mr. Kagame, according to the official tally, though this number appears inflated. Just over 80,000 voted for the opposition. The government claimed turnout totaled 97.6%. But the electoral process fell short of democratic standards. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said, "We are disturbed by irregularities observed during voting and reiterate longstanding concerns over the integrity of the vote tabulation process." The United States commends the Rwandan media for reporting on complaints of harassment of some opposition candidates and Rwandan citizens during the campaign. The U.S. also commends average citizens, the National Electoral Commission, and government officials for speaking out and addressing those complaints. Spokesperson Nauert added, "We applaud the televised presidential debate," while noting that voters' understanding would have benefited from broader participation of the candidates themselves. The U.S. remains concerned by the lack of transparency in determining the eligibility of prospective candidates. It is hoped the new electoral law to be debated in the next session of Parliament will clarify that process well before the 2018 parliamentary elections. Rwandan President Kagame has led the country of 12 million people since his rebels helped to end the 1994 genocide in which more than 800,000 Tutsis and moderate Hutus were massacred by Hutu extremists. Under President Kagame, Rwanda has made great economic strides, but his critics say this has come at the expense of civil liberties and media freedoms. Human rights groups report that his government has used state powers to silence the opposition through systematic repression. A constitutional amendment in 2015 allows Mr. Kagame to stay in power until 2034 if he pursues it. The United States expressed disappointment with the change to the Constitution and Kagame's decision to seek a third term. The United States encourages the government of Rwanda to foster an environment where civil society and all political parties can participate in elections without intimidation and elections truly reflect the will of the people. The United States stands by the people of Rwanda in their efforts to build strong, democratic, and inclusive institutions in order to ensure long-term stability and a democratic, prosperous future for all.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Interested in deeper analysis of news and events in Africa? Then plan to join me, Douglas Impuga, on Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 1730 UTC. We'll have African journalists and expert guests discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. So plan to be with us every Thursday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, troubling times in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
The United States says it's concerned at the inability of both the DRC government and an opposition coalition to implement a political transition agreement reached last December, a DRC political discussion.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.